you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie. Witch Police Radio. Police Radio. It's time for Witch Police Radio.
Oh, no, oh, no, oh. For Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. As people who listen to the podcast for a long time know, you know, the main focus on this show is the local music scene, basically music from anywhere in Manitoba, with Winnipeg sort of being the obvious main focus. But I also like to reach out and then have conversations with people who are, I like to say, music scene adjacent. I think that the guest on this episode is someone who fits that description. You have a show coming up in the very near future that definitely involves the local music scene. But I think before we get into any of that, the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do, because it's definitely something new to me.
Yeah, for sure. My name is Brett Audley. I'm a performing artist in Manitoba here. And primarily I do freak show, danger, and escapes.
Cool. So, I mean, maybe a good place to start then is, how does one get into doing freak shows and then danger things? Because I can't imagine something you just sort of wake up one day and say, I want to try, right? There's got to be, I'm sure, just based on the danger of the job, there's some background to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up in a performing family, but not this side of performing.
Right.
It was mainly dancers and stuff, and ballet and tap and stuff. And I was never raised to be the performer. But yet here I am, I'm the performer, and my sister, who was raised to be a performer, is not a performer.
Right.
So I'm a third generation performer, and I wasn't good at singing or dancing, so I had to do something. And risking life and limb is what I fell on.
So maybe give me some examples of the type of things you do, because I mean, you know, you mentioned danger, risking life and limb. Obviously this is more than just, you know, something casual. What kind of stuff are you, have you done and are you doing actively?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I do a lot of freak show. That's kind of a big passion of mine. So it might involve things like staple guns. It might involve hammers and animal traps and stuff like that. And then it involves fire. I really like doing a lot of fire stuff.
Okay.
In terms of escapes, I do a lot of straitjacket stuff. So I do hanging straitjacket escapes, hanging up by my feet and trying to escape, and then working on bigger things too. So I guess in a way I do a little bit of consulting / safety and stuff for some other bigger performers.
Oh, cool.
So I've been very fortunate in that as well. But yeah, pretty much anything danger related. I don't like to put myself in a single bubble of what I like to do, because I do branch out fairly often.
Yeah. Well, that maybe opens up another question then. Is there a community for this stuff here in Manitoba? Like, are there other people doing this? I mean, because for me, this is totally new thing. I mean, I know that that freak type stuff and these kind of things, they have a connection with punk rock especially. And, you know, you definitely have heard of some bigger name performers, you know, being involved in punk shows over the years, right, and things like that elsewhere. But is there a community in Manitoba?
So in Manitoba, there isn't really for a freak show.
Okay.
As far as I know, I'm the only one. I've come across other people that do straight jackets and stuff, but not really to the degree that I do. In terms of escapes, I do have a phenomenal resource here who is an actual legend in escapes, is Dean Gunnarsson.
Right, right. He's world famous for that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He is legendary. Ripley's, believe it or not, has labeled him one of the most daring performers out there.
Yeah.
And he's been a great resource, and I've been very fortunate to travel the world with him as well. So there is one resource, yeah. one community member.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some branches of magic and stuff that there is crossover. And then other variety arts and burlesque, there's some crossover, and
sure.
fire performers, there's some crossover. So it's kind of a lot of small communities that have a lot of crossover. And then of course music plays a big part too. I mean, the biggest legend in the freak show is Jim Rose, and he was famous for traveling with Lollapalooza.
Totally. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking of for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, but you know, like you mentioned, there's kind of, connection to magic too, right? I mean, a lot of the escape stuff,
yeah.
you see magicians doing that. Obviously magicians, yeah. for the most part, aren't using staple guns or hammers, yeah. things like that. So, I mean, like, I assume this is not an all ages performance, just based on the degree of danger involved. So where do you do this? Like, where do you actually perform this? I know there's a show coming up, and we'll get to that, but just like in general.
Yeah, so I have, I do kind of have two different shows that I do. So I do have a family friendly
oh, cool.
version,
okay.
which relies more on, say, the escapes versus the freak show. And then I do have an adult show, which does rely more on the freak show side of things, the more grotesque. There might be blood sometimes, it happens. And those ones are more like bar scenes.
Sure.
I did have like an 18 plus fringe show that ran last year at Winnipeg Fringe. I have more coming up this summer, which is going to be more all ages stuff. So there, I mean, there's some crossover. I'm not too far into the adults only type of thing. Like there's not a lot of nudity or anything.
Right.
I wouldn't say there's anything obscene, but there is things that can be sensitive.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. So, I'm still the idea of getting into this and wanting to, you know, do things
sure.
with fire and the escapes and stuff. Like, I mean, obviously that's dangerous and requires a lot of skill as well, but when it comes to the sort of more immediately violent stuff, you know, like fire or
yeah.
staple guns,
yeah
how much kind of preparedness do you need to do to just be able to go and do that? I mean, I'm sure that there was at least a point when you started out where it was a little more daunting than it probably has been with practice, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's kind of, I see something I want to try. You do a bunch of research on it. If I look over here, I've got an entire thing, a wall of books that are all magic, freak show,
okay.
some really hard to find books in there. Pretty much compile all the resources I can, learn as much as I can. And then once I'm comfortable with that knowledge, then I can maybe try it. So I do a lot of research. I safety is a concern of mine, obviously, but then there always comes a point that I'm sitting in my office with a staple gun the first time wondering what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm about to put a staple gun in. So I always find those moments humorous, terrifying, scary. But yeah, I mean, there always comes a point that you have to actually do it.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. I like pushing myself in that regard. And I honestly didn't know why I did it until recently. I couldn't really put my finger on why I enjoyed this until very recently.
Okay. So what is the reason? Like, what did you come up with?
Yeah. So what it is for me is a curiosity about sensations.
Okay.
And I can kind of draw a parallel to food, actually, too. So I've always enjoyed trying new foods. The weirder the food, the better, right? It's one of my biggest joys in life is trying something I've never tried before in food.
Yeah.
And these stunts are kind of the same thing. When I see someone get tasered on TV, I think to myself, well, I wonder what that feels like, right? I want to know what that feels like.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? And so I draw a parallel to food because people can probably relate to that a little bit better than getting tasered.
I hope so. Yeah. I think in general, you know, that's probably probably accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I kind of see it and I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. And then I kind of try something and I realize it's either not as bad as I thought, or it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's bearable. And then I can kind of put that in a show.
Okay. Are there some things you've attempted that sort of was a one and done where you realize that this is not something you want to, you know, pursue doing further?
Yeah. Yeah. I do have, I have a couple that I've been working on for years now, and either I get to a point that I'm not brave enough to do it yet, which sometimes it takes a year or two to, for me to get the bravery to even do it the first time. Or I feel like once I get to that point, I don't have the knowledge I need yet. Or I start doing it and I realize it really sucks. But the most recent example would be the Human Pincushion Act.
Okay.
So I still have a goal of completing it, but I sit there, keep trying it. And essentially the Human Pincushion Act is you have these big, long pins, essentially the width of like a hat pin.
Yeah.
And you put them through your arm, your bicep. You can put them through the bottom of your jaw here in the cheeks. And that's an act that I really want to do. And I've been working on it. And it sucks.
I believe it, yeah.
So I do have a goal of at least completing it once, getting it through the bicep or the arm. I don't know if it'll ever make it into a show.
Yeah.
But I'd like to do it because that just sounds crazy.
It does. It definitely does. So the reason that this is kind of connected to what I talk about in the show mainly, which is the local music scene, is you have an event coming up that involves punk rock and freak show stuff.
Yeah,
so
what
can you tell me about that show?
Yeah, so we have the Punk Circus coming up on March 9th at the Bulldog Event Center with a couple local bands, friends of mine as well. So the punk band Your Mom.
Yep.
And Suburban Hypocrites, which I believe both have been on your show.
They have been, yeah. Great bands, yeah, for sure.
You know, yeah. Yeah, so we're really excited about putting that together. For me, the Freak Show, it's more than just a show. It's an event, something that people haven't seen. And so combining that with some local punk music just made sense to me.
Yeah.
I see a lot of parallels, and I mean, maybe this is getting a little white collar, but the demographics have a lot of crossover and stuff too. You know, it's the weird things, the outcasts,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Well, and I think it makes sense because a lot of punk shows lately, I've noticed in the past few years, have been involving non-musical parts. I mean, there's been like pro wrestling happening at punk shows a fair bit. And I mean, sometimes it's extremely violent pro wrestling with, like, you know, death matches and stuff. And that makes sense. Like, again, it's the outsider thing, the kind of people wanting to see something weird and hear something weird and loud and aggressive. And it kind of makes sense. So have you done this kind of thing before where you're performing alongside bands?
No, not directly. Music has always played a big role in my shows.
Yeah.
Music in any live show setting sets the tone. I mean, you know, if you have a different composer on a movie, it makes it a completely different movie.
Totally.
Right. So music definitely plays a role, sets the tone. Cirque du Soleil is famous for it too. So I haven't done it, but it has played a big role, and inspiration as well for me has definitely played a role for inspiration. So this is the first event, the live event. I think we've set it up in a really cool way too. So it's not just band, me, or me, band.
Right.
There is, it's going to be me and then band and then me, and there's going to be some crossover and music playing over.
Cool.
So we're kind of playing around with it. It is the first punk circus hopefully it does well, and I'd love to keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I have actually had a couple people reach out from Alberta and Saskatchewan asking when the tour is going to get to them.
Right on.
And unfortunately, I have to say, well, this is just Winnipeg.
Yeah, so far anyway,
one
right?
Event that wanted to do.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, maybe there's something there if it takes off. I'd love to see how far it can go and.
Well, and I guess this has the potential too to open up what you do to a different audience that maybe has not experienced that before, right? And vice versa. I mean, some people who want to see a freak show might already know of you and or want to check it out just based on that element, and then they'll hear these bands and be into the bands, and yeah.
Yeah. The freak show thing is, I don't want to say it's fairly new for me, but Brett Audley kind of just came onto the scene really fast last summer.
Okay.
Before that, I was performing in more of a family capacity, more juggling, stuff like that. And then the freak show just took off, and I want to run with it because it's my favorite part of it too.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's blown up and lots of crazy experiences.
I believe it. Yeah, definitely.
I want to keep them going.
Right on. What else did you have coming up? I mean, I know you mentioned, you know, you're gonna be doing some fringe stuff. Obviously the punk rock circus is the most imminent, event, but like, I guess, how many opportunities are there for someone doing what you do sort of throughout the year? Do you have regular gigs, or is it sort of, do you just sort of take opportunities as they come?
Yeah. So I do bookings. Like if I do corporate events, like my family friendly show is corporate friendly. Right. So things like Christmas parties, I did a lighting of the menorah this past holiday season. It was the third time the Jewish Center has booked me.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so it's just kind of weird having, you know, my freak, I didn't do freak show, but having Brett Audley there, being there at the lighting of the menorah is always fun.
Yeah.
So I do things like that. Weddings and stuff too, for more fire related things.
Okay.
So I do have corporate friendly. I do have festival friendly as well, cause I was a street performer. So festival bookings are really good for me, Canada Days. But outside of that, the freak show stuff, more of the danger stuff, you kind of have to create your own. I do get the odd booking here and there. You have to create your own shows, which is the punk circus.
Sure.
I do the fringe. I'm doing the fringe circuit as well this year. So I'm doing Winnipeg Fringe again. I had a great run last year. I'm bringing a slightly different show this year. And then I'm doing Edmonton as well. And I'm hoping to pick up a Calgary date and a Regina date too, just for one-offs. And then I have some things in September I'm working on traveling-wise, but nothing is for sure on that.
Cool.
And then the biggest thing is I will be attempting a Guinness World Record this summer as well.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I know that, first of all, there's the Guinness Book of Records, which has however many thousand records, but there's all these other ones that aren't, they just don't have room for, in every edition of the book. So how do you sort of find out, first of all, like what records are available to be beaten, and then go through the process of getting it all officially, an official attempt made?
Yeah, so it will be an official attempt. Guinness has already signed off on it. So I have the rule book and everything on what I have to do. In terms of how you go about it is you can either think of a record and submit it. You can create a brand new one from scratch. They are quite strict on those, though, and I've had five turned down already.
Okay.
I set a New Year's resolution to break a world record a number of years ago, and I've applied every year. And this is the first time they've accepted one.
Well, what's different this time around then? What is it about this record you're attempting that makes it fit with what they want?
Yeah, it's a lot tamer than what I've done in the past. Okay. What I've submitted. And then this one is very tame, very family friendly as well. And then this was also an existing record that they've recognized, but it hasn't been broken.
Okay, so what do you have to do to break it? What is the record you're trying to achieve here?
So I'm going to be trying the most magic tricks performed in 1 minute while hanging upside down.
And where do you do that? Like, is there assuming there's probably like conditions as to where it's happening and what the environment is around it and all of that. So where are you actually going to attempt this?
Yeah. So it's actually part of the rules of Guinness, for me to be able to use the name and everything, that it's going to be a free event.
Okay.
So everyone's welcome to come. I'm going to be trying to set up either a theater here or something, probably somewhere related to Fringe Fest, because it's going to be right before. So we're going to set up a date. I don't have anything set quite yet, but it'll be a free event. Everyone can come. It might be, I might do it twice maybe, but yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
How much practice does it take leading up to this? I assume you've been working on it. A world record is no small thing, right? So,
yeah, right now I've been doing a lot of the leg work because each and every trick has to be submitted to Guinness and they have to approve it as well.
Okay.
Is a criteria that I'm following even in advance. Now, I can perform a trick without their approval, but when it actually comes to them recognizing the record, they may or may not decide to recognize that trick. So I'm going through a big pre-approval process right now, getting all the lawyer. I have to have lawyers involved, a notary public.
Well,
I have to have slow-mo cameras. I have to have two photographers. So just trying to get that set up right now until I actually get up on the hoist. But I've been performing hanging straight jackets. Probably done it well over 100 times.
Okay.
So I'm very comfortable upside down, and I can do all these tricks just here, standing.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, probably next month is when I'll get up and start fully practicing upside down.
What is the actual record? And is it set by someone notable? Like, is the person who set this someone that you are familiar with? And
So this one wasn't set yet.
Oh, okay. Got it.
You can go on to Guinness World Records. You can make a profile and you can go through records that they've already defined, but nobody's broken.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
So this was one of them, which is why Guinness it was much easier to convince them to recognize it because they already have done that process saying, yeah, we can recognize this.
Well, a question about the Guinness thing then. I mean, obviously, hopefully you accomplish this and you get the record, and that'd be really cool. If you don't, what is the criteria for coming back and can you try again immediately, like the next year or something? You can keep doing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They don't really set it, like even the same day, they don't really set a criteria on how many times I can attempt it. So I have friends that have personally broke records and they might have done it 3 times. That day, so I'll probably make the first attempt, reset everything,
sure,
try it again, and just kind of take whatever one works best. So no, there's not really any criteria. You can apply right away. It is a lengthy process.
I bet. Yeah,
they take forever to get back to you as well. So
what do you get from that? I mean, aside from obviously the satisfaction of having broken a world record, but I mean, does Guinness give you some kind of official documentation saying that you are the record holder?
Yep. So you do get a frame certificate, and then you do get listed on their website.
Cool.
And then, you know, there's always the potential of being in the book. They never guarantee it.
Yeah, of course.
It's always fun. I do every time I walk past the newest Guinness book, I always have to open it up and I find a couple people I know in there too. And
cool.
It's always fun. But yeah, you get a certificate. You might be featured on their website. They also asked for souvenirs.
Okay.
So, because Guinness World Record has different exhibits around the world. So if they you have an interesting piece from the record, they might take it, put it in one of their, I guess it's a museum.
Yeah.
Kind of like they have one in Niagara Falls, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think I went to that when I was a kid, actually. It sounds maybe familiar. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. I really like the idea of even having a piece of Brett Audley in a museum. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, that would be cool, yeah. And those books too, like they're so much more visual now than they used to be. I mean, my kids read them all the time every year. They like to read them, and it's just I get why they want it to be video documented, photographers and stuff, because that whole book is just super super visual heavy these days. So makes sense. So
that's all part of it.
For people who are hearing about what you're doing the first time, I mean, this is new to me, like I said, so there's probably a number of other people who are listening to the show wanting to hear about music, and suddenly we're talking about, you know, upside down straitjacket stuff and freak shows. How do they find out more information about what you're doing? Where can they go online to sort of maybe see some stuff you've done or find out what's coming up?
Yeah, so I have a website, brettaudley.ca.
Okay.
And then I do have Instagram and Facebook at Brett Audley, I think. I don't think there's an underscore or anything. I think it's just at Brett Audley that they can follow me. I'm not the best at keeping things up to date on there, but my events are always up there.
Cool.
And then through my website, brettaudley.ca, I'll have links to get the tickets as well for the Punk Circus as well coming up.
Awesome.
So they can take a look at that.
And that's March 9th at the Bulldog?
Yeah, that's March 9th at the Bulldog.
Cool. Hopefully people show up to that, because it's a very cool idea. Do you think that if this succeeds, it's something you might want to do more of bringing your act to the music scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there, as we mentioned before, there's huge crossover. Jim Rose Circus is a legend in this field.
Yeah.
And his big thing was going with Lollapalooza. So he was doing it, and the people from the Disturbed and stuff were all part of the show. He brought all the performers, all the musicians, ended up being part of the Jim Rose Circus.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
And I really like that idea. There's a good documentary on Tubi that just came out as well. I forget what it's called, but it's about the Jim Rose Circus. And it very much features on the Lollapalooza. So
cool.
That's where the Legends was made, and maybe I can do something similar.
Do you have, what happens if someone, someone hears about the show you're doing, hears this podcast, whatever, and then thinks, you know, I want to do this. I want to get involved in this kind of performance. Where do they start? I mean, what is sort of the starting point for someone who, whatever element of it they want to try, whether it's hanging upside down, the fire, or any of these things, how do you sort of get into it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really hard and dangerous to get just go straight into freak show. And I wouldn't recommend it for anyone. There's a lot of other things. Like, I started juggling and doing acrobatics.
Okay.
So my wife and I used to perform acrobatics together and stuff. And that's kind of, you know, being in a street performing setting, then you kind of look at what you can add. And it slowly, gradually over about 12 years became what it is today. So it was a very slow progression. But if you are interested in that, I mean, Winnipeg does have a good circus community. So the Winnipeg Circus Club, which I used to be one of the board members of, is a really good resource. And they have a show coming up on March 10th.
Okay.
And it's a really good place to kind of learn how to juggle, maybe learn how to slackline, learn how to unicycle, kind of more of the family circus type of things.
Yeah.
And then in terms of kind of the danger side, I mean, it's weird to say, but magic has a lot of crossovers, right? There's an element of magic and some danger acts too, right? Escape has always been, Houdini was a magician after all.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's like the Magic Club of Winnipeg, and then there's a youth magic club as well. That's really great. And we're one of the only places in Canada with a magic store.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know that. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Boat Hall Toys has a really good magic.
Right. Yeah. 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 Very cool.
That's how I would recommend getting into it. If you are looking at more fire stuff or freak show, I definitely recommend seeking people out. It's not something just to hop into. Like for me, the human pincushion act, for instance.
Yeah.
I have books that I can show you that were extremely hard to find. And when you read them, they're as sketchy as can be. And half of it is wrong.
Right.
So
someone
just wrote a book one time, half of it's wrong. They weren't right. So I actually had to seek out a mentor out of Toronto, right? And even with having one of the best mentors in Canada, I'm still not confident just doing it.
Right. So don't jump into it. I think that's probably good advice. But yeah, no, that makes sense with the magic stuff and the connections there. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of basic circus type things too that people can learn before trying the danger stuff.
Things like learning how to juggle and stuff will obviously can progress into juggling fire or juggling knives, and that's a good place to kind of start. There's not any real path. I mean, I guess you can start immediately with mouse traps and it's gonna suck, but
cool.
I don't recommend doing it. There are resources out there, except they're extremely hard to find, but there are resources out there.